I'm Lisa Mullins, and this is The World. Today is the day we commemorate Americans who perished while in military service to their country. Eugene Benedict is not, technically speaking, one of the men we honor today. He did serve in Vietnam, but he didn't die from his war wounds until many years later. And Benedict, known by everybody as Genie Boy, was not an American. He was an Abenaki Indian. He was raised on a reservation east of Montreal, and he's the subject of the latest documentary by the Canadian filmmaker Annalise Obomaswen. A retrospective of her work runs through today at the Museum of Modern Art in New York. In her film Genie Boy Came Home, Benedict recounts how he wound up in New York, enlisted in the Marines, and shortly thereafter got word from on high.
Lo and behold, it didn't take long. We were called in the office and said, hey, your orders are in. You're shipping over.
Wound up in Vietnam. Spent a year, 8 months, and 2 days in the front lines. And I guess I wasn't ready to go upstairs. God didn't want me yet, so he let me live through it.
Annalise, what is so remarkable, I think, about this film, and you can hear it in Genie Boy's voice, as we heard there, is that his story can be told by so many veterans. But I wonder what drew you to this man and why you wanted him to tell his story in particular.
Well, first of all, I come from the same community as he does. We both are from Odanak, so I knew him all his life. You know, I knew that he was very troubled all these years.
We see that in the film. We also hear him talk about how he got to the point where his life had been so distressed after Vietnam. Basically, he grew up on a reserve. Eventually, he moved to the United States to take a job in construction, lived a pretty hard life in the United States, and kind of on a dare, he joined the Marine Corps.
Also, he was only 15 years old. He was drinking and working, you know, in very hard jobs, and so someone told him, why don't you go in the Marines? I bet you don't have the courage to do it.
But there was no way he was going to ignore that dare.
No.
That's the kind of guy he was.
Yeah.
He was in Vietnam, in the front lines, as he says, for 1 year, 8 months, 2 days. And we hear him talk about his job in the film. He was a scout sniper near the Da Nang airfield.
Our life expectancy as a scout sniper was about 26 seconds. Don't ask me how they figure that out, but when you're going out on a mission, if you get attacked, then your life expectancy is 26 seconds.
Clearly, he understood what his experience in Vietnam did. He was wounded, first, yeah. We should say. What was the nature of his wounds?
I never did find out. I knew he was limping all these years. And every time that I asked him, it's okay, it's not important. He didn't want to play the big victim, I think. I don't know. He just felt that he was lucky that he came out of there alive.
This is typical of a lot of veterans.
Yes.
I'm sure you've noticed as well that they don't want to dwell on some of their injuries. Well, in this case, he said that he was physically injured, mentally injured, and what he said was, if you didn't become numb, you would never survive.
No.
Ultimately, he decides to make a move back to Canada, and maybe you can describe what happened for us.
Yes. At one particular time, he obviously was really so depressed, and he really didn't want to live. And he was ready to really kill himself. And he told me he started to think, and he had a little daughter, and he was worried what would it be like for her later on. And he decided to try to come back to Odanak, because he was still in the States at that time.
This is the Indian Reserve.
Yes, yeah, so he came back home. And he told me as soon as he walked on the land in Odanak that he felt different, that he felt very peaceful, and that this big weight came off his back, and he felt that this was the right place to be.
How he got there, I mean, it's a short story, but pretty amazing. He scraped up the bus money to take the bus from Albany, New York, to Montreal. And he had to walk the final distance. You can just kind of picture him in the rain crossing bridges. How long was that?
Yeah. 25 miles he walked to this small town. He kept hitchhiking, but nobody was picking him up. And after walking 25 to 30 miles, then they picked him up, and the rest of the road, he got a lift as far as the reserve. People would say, oh, Ginny Boy is back, and they were obviously worried and could see that he was so different, and obviously he was totally destroyed. And this is what he says. He said that they came out of a killing zone, and they never help you to reintegrate yourself into a normal life. So, you know, he went through a lot. And he told me also that it was only through the fact that he finally got medication, and which he had to take for the rest of his life. Otherwise, he didn't feel he could function.
He functioned very well. I mean, in the film, as we see him, you mentioned he was a school bus driver, and that really kept him going. Mm-hmm. And you can see that his kind of avuncular way toward a young friend, a friend who's maybe about 10 or 12 years old there, who he's talking to about the reservation and his memories of childhood there.
So nice, eh?
It was really nice.
Yeah, it's lovely. The children really loved him, too. They, when it was his birthday or Christmas, they would give him presents, and it was, I saw some notice, like one little boy gave him a miniature bus, and said Ginny Boy was the best driver in the world. And there was, drawings and things that the children, I think, were really affected when they learned that he had died. And it was awful for us, for me, to see that he died before the film was finished.
Before the film was finished, so you would have continued to film him if he was still alive?
No, I had finished the shoot with him, but the film wasn't finished yet. You know, he hadn't seen it, and it really bothered me.
How did he die?
Well, he took very sick. I don't know. I think there was a lot of things wrong with him. He was having a hard time with digestion, with his liver.
It's clear you would have preferred if he could have seen the film when it was complete, but what would you have wanted him to see? And I wonder what you want the audience to see.
The fact that for us it's an honor that he came back home, and, you know, he says in the film that he felt that the people of Odanak had helped him to survive all this, and he felt that now it was his way of thanking them by taking care of the kids and driving the bus. It's a very nice feeling at the end to see that he was so thankful. He felt that he was lucky that he came back home, and he had that kind of love and that kind of community life. So it's nice to know that somehow he was saved by coming home.
That's Alanis Obomoswin, creator of the film Ginny Boy Came Home. More news and our global hit still to come on The World. This is PRI, Public Radio International.